This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks, Scott, for taking the time today to come on the show. Really appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks, Pat.
Scott, let's start off with tell our listeners a bit about who you are and your company.
Sure. Scott Morin, I am what's known as a certified EOS implementer. So I teach a system for running a better business. The company that I run or that holds this particular system is a company called Bytown Ventures. And we do a couple things. We do EOS implementation and we do some executive recruiting for clients. And we're kind of not intentional on the recruiting. We just take the recruiting on as it comes up because it's one of these things where companies where I am working with them on enhancing execution and strategy, more often than not, we'll get into discussion on getting the right people in the right seats, and we might have an opportunity to bring someone in. And then that's where our executive recruiting pops in. But it's not a major part of our business. Prior to that, I spent about 25 years in high tech in startups, always in entrepreneurially led companies here in the Ottawa area. Some exits, some smoking hole in the grounds, and everything in between.
The full range.
Yeah.
And Scott, what attracted you to, actually, let's talk a bit about EOS. As you know, I'm familiar with it. We have it in our agency. But for those listeners that may not know what EOS is, can you just give us a bit of a background on that, please?
Sure. It's a complete set of simple, practical tools that helps business leaders, owners, entrepreneurs run their business. There's three outcomes that we focus in on. One is getting a clear vision for the organization, where you're going, how you're going to get there, and making sure that that vision is understood by everyone in the organization, which is something that is often overlooked. The next outcome is execution, accountability, or we call it traction. So we teach a meeting cadence and a goal setting and problem solving methodology that helps that vision get realized. And then the third outcome is organizational health. So when this cadence happens and when you're in a facilitation room with an implementer or you're even on your own, we encourage open and honest and vulnerability-based conversations. And when that happens, typically people get closer together. It's kind of like formation flying. You can be the best pilot in the world, but really you got to be looking at the wing of your wingman and measuring that up all the time. So that's the third outcome, organizational health.
So Scott, when you were running the various tech companies you're involved with, did you have EOS as an operating system?
No, and I wish we did, but we kind of ran by the seat of our pants. We did what we thought was right. Most of the time when I was in high tech, I was leading sales teams, large enterprise sales teams. Well, they started out small and they ended up getting bigger. And I would invest in a sales methodology for my people. And the value that I saw in that was a common language, making sure that when I'm setting expectations with the board or investors on deals, that we're not miscommunicating from sales leader to salesperson. And so getting that sales methodology or language in place helped reduce, if not completely eliminate, all the miscommunication. So definitely went down that path, but did not have something like EOS in the past, for sure.
So Scott, you start up these tech companies, you leave some scorched earth, you have some successful exits. Did you retire and then kind of go into this, or did you automatically go from that right into coaching or being a EOS implementer?
So when I left high tech, I did what people that aren't ready to retire often do. And frankly, you know, couldn't afford to retire 100% either. And so I dabbled. I was a consultant. I would do fractional leadership engagements where people that knew and trusted me in high tech would bring me in a day or two a week to help out with their sales teams. I did a little bit of leadership development work My father had been doing that for about 25 years, so he brought me into his practice. So I was intending on probably continuing down that path for a while. But then what happened was I was coaching a sales leader in the manufacturing space, not in the tech space, but in the manufacturing space. And I was in a day a week and I sat in on their leadership team meeting. And they were running what EOS calls an L10 or a level 10 meeting. And I was kind of smitten by the fact that, first of all, we had the right people in the room. Everyone was on time. Everyone was engaged. There was the right amount of small talk. There was the right amount of problem solving. There was the right amount of data. And so it was just one of these really well-run meetings. And it was up on the big screen too. Being a former tech guy, we had the L10 meeting up on a big screen. Everyone was looking at all the issues that were being discussed, and we were taking notes on the fly. And this was a fairly low-tech manufacturer that I was working with. And so at the end of the meeting, I asked the gentleman that was running the meeting what that was. And he said, "Oh, that's the level 10 meeting from EOS." And he handed me the book Traction. And I read that book from cover to cover in a couple of days. And again, for me, it was just one of these scenarios where it's like, where was this? We could have used this back in the day, right? And there's no rocket science in the system, but it's kind of a holistic way of looking at your business that vectors in six key components. There's the vision component, which I've talked about. There's people, getting the right people into the right seats, giving you a little bit of terminology and nomenclature for that so you can assess that, even if you don't have an HR department. The idea that you're going to run your business on data, not a ton of data either. Like, we're not talking, back in the day in high tech, I would have dashboard upon dashboard running out of Salesforce.com. I was big into data. But at the leadership team level, every leader should have one or two or three numbers that they look at every week that will just help them gauge whether or not their business is on track. There's a problem-solving methodology. We had a process documentation approach. And then the last thing was the meetings or traction. So those are the six key components of the system.
And Scott, at what point did you realize, you know what, I could do this for a living? Like you see, you read the book, you're intrigued by it. Obviously, you looked into their business model, but was it pretty early on in that process you realized, hey, I can do this?
So after I saw that level 10 meeting and read the book, I called them up. EOS is based out of the US, and I asked if anyone was doing this in Ottawa, and they said no. I said, "Oh, okay, opportunity here." Found out that there was a sort of a training curriculum that you had to go through and some licensing hoops that you had to go through. But decided to do that almost right on the spot. But the other thing that helped was the very next day, I was meeting with a client I was doing some executive coaching with, and I was working with their VP of sales. And when I sat down with the entrepreneurs, I had a couple of copies of Traction. I gave them Traction. I said, "I've just found out about this system. You guys should have a look at this." They called me up a couple of days later and asked me to implement it at their company. So it was pretty quick. It was those two sort of moments, the serendipitous one being them wanting to hire me right away to do this, that made me realize, okay, there's something here. The other thing that I really liked about it is if you're in the consulting space, if you're helping companies with your expertise, one of the challenges is it's difficult to scale yourself and you are constantly reinventing your go-to-market just a little bit for, depending on the requirements that are coming from the customer. So some clients will hire you for 6 months, some clients will hire you for a couple of days. And it's difficult to scale that. This system, when you're teaching it, gets the client into a cadence where we've got 3 days that we spend with each other over a period of about 60 days. So it's a 3-day sprint over 60 days. And then there's a quarterly session every 90 days, and then we get together annually. And so from a scheduling perspective, I found that it was content. So I'm not consulting anymore. I'm teaching, I'm facilitating, and I'm coaching on the system. I am giving them some anecdotal advice, kind of off the cuff on based on what I've seen either in previous lives or through EOS implementations. But it's one of these scenarios where I realized, okay, if I've got the client on this schedule, then I can fit another client in behind them and another client in behind them. And so it makes for a very scalable business. And that's another thing that I really appreciated about it.
And Scott, just so our listeners are clear, is it a franchise or is it a license?
So it's a franchise. They moved to a franchise model about just coming out of COVID. Prior to that, you would license the IP, you would pay them a monthly fee. But what happens now is you go through a bit of a vetting process. They need to know that you've been a former entrepreneur, business leader, basically have kind of been there, done that. You have the battle scars. You have the wisdom, and then on top of that, you have the humility. One of our core values is you got to be humbly confident. And so what that means is you got to know your stuff. A prospect or a client or a company you're engaging with needs to know that you know your stuff. But if you come across arrogant in any way, it's just not a good fit for EOS. So that's one of the things that they check in on. But there's a vetting process. And then once you get through the vetting process, it's a franchise that you purchase and all the franchise things that come along with that. Some good, some bad, mostly good. It's very open and flexible model. I don't really even have a territory. Most of my clients are in Ottawa, but I have some American clients and some Toronto-based clients just based on referrals. So yeah, no, it's a good good approach.
And Scott, who's an ideal client for EOS? Is there a minimum number of employees that makes it an ideal situation?
Yeah, so the target market that we've defined for the system is pretty broad. There's really only two criteria, three really. Number one, privately held. Number two, 10 to 250 employees. And then the third, I guess, is a bit of a joke, is you have to have so on the employee front, like you've got humans, right? Because EOS is all about harnessing human energy and getting the arrows pointed in the same direction as opposed to in different directions. And Lencioni talks about this in his book, Five Dysfunctions of a Team. Basically, I'll paraphrase it here. If you can get everyone in every company rowing in the same direction, you'd be unstoppable, right? And so that is all we're trying to do with the system is get consensus and alignment from the leadership team right on down.
And Scott, when you bring on a new client, what's your typical length of time that you're working with them? I'm sure it varies, but what's an average?
Yeah, it's about a 2-year cycle.
Okay.
It's a 2-year relationship. We don't put a contract in place. We go session by session. I have one client that's been with me for 5 years. Some of my startups, because I do come from that startup environment, will be bootstrapped and very cost conscious. So I'll get them going on the 3 days. And then maybe a quarterly or two, so it'll be a shorter engagement, and it's primarily for cash reasons that they do that. But usually, it's about a 2-year journey. What I'm finding lately is, even though I come from high tech, most of my clients are traditional businesses. Construction is a big vertical. We've got quite a few folks in the engineering area. One thing I like about engineers, and one thing that engineers like about EOS, is we have buckets or compartments for everything in the system, right? We have areas that if something pops up that's a problem, we call that an issue. So we put that in our either a short-term issues box or our long-term issues box. And then we address the short-term issues in, a weekly format. We address the longer term issues once every quarter. So on and on and on. And so they really appreciate the fact that we have these little buckets for putting information.
Yeah, that would resonate with them, I'm sure, in a big way.
Yeah.
Scott, let's switch gears a little bit and focus on entrepreneurship. I got some questions around that. So you've had multiple businesses where you started and some exits and some non-exits, we'll call it. And now you're working with entrepreneurs. So I'm interested to get your take on two primary questions. One is a listener that may be struggling with their current business. What advice would you give them? Because as entrepreneurs, we all go through phases where we're struggling and questioning things. So is there two or three pieces of advice you'd give that individual?
The number one, of course, would have to be, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say, think about, pick up the book Traction and think about getting a system, a language, a methodology for running the business, because there might be, like the issues that come up pretty consistently are people, communication, and process. Those are the three. The fourth that is also coming up more and more regularly is intentional selling. So just the idea that our sales practice, our sales function is very reactionary, and the term order taker is often thrown around. Those are the four. I'll tell you right off the bat, EOS can deal with the first three very nicely as long as you buy into the system. So that's number one. But I would say outside of that, getting a mentor, getting into a peer group of people that are experiencing some of the same challenges that you're experiencing, knowing that hitting the ceiling, getting frustrated in a business, that's just normal, right? Every person, every company, every department hits kind of a ceiling at a certain point. And if we go to the individual level, if you feel you've hit a ceiling, if you feel that you're in over your head or you're in a rut, what do you do? Well, first thing that you do is you acknowledge the fact that that is the case. And then number two, you decide to, if you're in over your head a little bit, maybe you start reading some books or getting some mentorship. If you're in a rut, maybe from a health perspective, you start working on your diet or going to the gym. So like the first thing is just acknowledge that you're stuck. And then number two, take action, right? And the other thing is most entrepreneurs start a business to be free, and then they end up getting handcuffed by their business. Now, if it's a viable business, if there's a market out there for what you're selling, and you have a product or service that's can stand with the best of them, you've just got to get unstuck. Really, that's all that there is to it. It's a bit more of a challenge in the startup space, tech startup space, where you may not sh be sure if your product is even a product, right? So you're pivoting all over the place. But if you've got a product that fits a need in the market and you're just not executing well, or you don't have the right people doing the right things, or if you're not delegating enough, right? If you're not getting things down to your people, these are some of the challenges that folks run into.
Scott, in your experience, do you find entrepreneurs have a hard time admitting that they are stuck? You used that term earlier, so that's been my experience in whether I'm consulting or friends that I know or in various peer groups. It's almost they don't want to come across as if they're failing. Is that a common trait?
Oh, for sure. It's out there. And when I'm assessing whether or not I can help a company, when I started doing this 6 years ago, of course, I was keen and anxious to get going with just about anyone who would talk to me about the system. But I'm now at the point where I need to be sure that we've got an open, honest, and humble leadership team that is prepared to sort of put their nose to the grindstone on some of these things. If I'm brought in, every now and then I get brought in by a board of directors or private equity owns a couple of my companies, and so private equity will bring me in. If I'm being forced upon the leadership team, or most importantly, the CEO, the founder, the entrepreneur, if I sense that I'm being forced, I just know it's not going to work. And I'm at the point now where we'll have the conversation, but there probably won't be too many follow-up calls because I just know it's not a great fit. But yeah, it's a human. It's a human thing, right? To be, to have pride. But In the last 15 to 20 years, we've gone from a culture where it was a very verboten thing to mention that you were in therapy or that you were getting some help, right? And now it's almost commonplace, right? Where people acknowledge, I'm getting a little bit of help here, and there's no stigma. Or very little stigma with that at the individual level. So I would say on the business level, maybe that can evolve and change, because this is the kind of stuff, whether it's EOS, whether it's a CEO group, CEO peer group, or an entrepreneur forum that you belong to, these are your people, and they can help you.
That's a really good point. Scott, what advice would you give to someone that's listening that has been thinking of starting a business? They've got this idea and they just can't seem to make that leap.
I remember taking an entrepreneur quiz when I was young, and I scored really, really high everywhere except for risk, right? And so that led me to join entrepreneurially led companies and lead their sales function. So I didn't become a full-blown entrepreneur until I was in my late 40s. So you've got to be prepared to deal with the risk. But if you can deal with the risk, it is the most rewarding thing, the most freeing thing, even with all the pitfalls that you run into, that you could ever imagine. The idea that you're growing something from nothing, and you're building some equity for you and your family that is not available through your RSPs or anything else. And so when I meet young tradespeople, again, I work with construction a lot. I suggest often, like, if there's a way for you to get an ownership stake in this business, or if there's a way for you to take some of your knowledge at some point and start your own thing, you will be thanking yourself later, right? But you got to get through the risk part. And how do you get through the risk part? Well, maybe just don't spend beyond your means and live on a budget, and just be as careful as you can for the first couple of years, but then over a period of time, it'll pay off.
That's great advice, Scott. Believe it or not, we're out of time. Scott, before we let you go, where can our listeners find out more about what it is you do and how you can help them?
Sure. If you want to know more about EOS in general, just go to eosworldwide.com. And my website is bytownventures.com, and you'll have a little bit more information and some testimonials and case studies there.
Thanks for doing this, Scott. Really appreciate your time today.
Much appreciated, Pat.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.